We want you to stand by. For the first half hour, we're going to have what might be referred to as an open line program. Your opportunity to call in and voice your opinions about whatever you want to voice them about. We have, I'm sure, those who are interested in getting to know a lot more about their love life or ways of improving it. And of course, Tom Overton to my left is a professional when it comes to giving that kind of advice. Those, I'm sure, who were part of the little luncheon, or the big luncheon today, for Brother Hank Aaron. We had occasion to spend an hour or so at the Sheraton Lincoln, I guess, named your hotel, Tom, is that right?
Yes, yes, that's right.
And we were certainly impressed by not only those who gathered, but the large number of young people who were present and accounted for, and the remark made. I see that U.S. Fifth Court Judge Joe Ingram said yesterday that he'll delay his ruling on the request by Universal Amusements Company of Houston. Copies of the controversy of film have been seized at the company's theaters in Dallas and also here in Houston. Houston Assistant City Attorney Joe Rollins told Ingram and two other federal judges hearing the case that Houston police had a search warrant when they seized a copy of the film last April. Rollins said the order was issued by a state district court after a police officer who'd seen the film testified that it contained explicit sex scenes. So, another chapter in the world of alleged pornography, I suppose, is unraveling, and it will be quite interesting to see what develops there. Not too far from home is the situation in Dallas that I'm sure many of you have heard about over the weekend. The quest between the Mexican-American leaders and the police department. The Mexican-American leaders, I understand, have proclaimed unity in the wake of the killing of a 12-year-old Mexican-American boy by police. And he called on the Dallas City Council today to end what they call the system of dual justice. Take out unequal law enforcement in that city and put an end to it. The meeting was quiet, so it appears as if there are others than soul brothers and soul sisters who having one of the top news stories of the area happens to be the problems of nausea and what have you that are being encountered by the Skylab astronauts. We understand that they have postponed for a second time a planned spacewalk. Commander Alan Bean and his crewmates have been handicapped by the aching and churning of their stomachs. The effects of what we have a report is called mission sickness in their orbiting space station. So that's about the scene as far as local news is concerned. Tom, there's one item that I'd like to call to the attention of our listeners that I have a personal interest in. Well, I suppose I should have an interest in all of these items. But one in particular I noticed this evening, and that is that a half dozen African nations on the edge of the Sahara Desert are threatened by famine because of drought. Thousands of tons of food grains have been sent by other countries, but United Nations officials report that lack of coordination has led to serious pileups of relief supplies in West Africa's congested ports. A conference of the drought-stricken countries opened today in Abidjan, the Ivory Coast, to get the supplies moving. About 2 weeks ago, I was in New York and attended a press conference that had been called by a group of individuals who are interested in bringing relief to those who are affected by this drought. I understand that there is a possibility that 10 million black folk will lose their lives in the not-too-distant future if help isn't forthcoming. Brother Jesse Jackson and Dick Gregory and a number of other prominent blacks have not only endorsed the efforts to provide relief for this portion of the world, but they were there in person. I had a chance to talk with them, as well as many other individuals who have decided to try to show a little humaneness to their brothers and sisters, or to our brothers and sisters who are faced with imminent death. One of the things that, yes.
Have you informed our listeners what numbers to call?
Well, our numbers, I believe, are 526-1356 or 1357 or 1358. Is that right, Michael? We'd like to hear from you, our listeners, if you'd like to discuss anything that we've brought up or maybe something we haven't brought up. I see that Tom is here, and he has done a little research. In fact, I think he's had about a lifetime of research in the area of public relations, and I'm sure that he'd be quite pleased if you have some question pertaining to how to get along with your brother or your sister or your neighbor or your friend, to give him a buzz. He'll try to respond to that. We have what we consider to be a very competent and efficient new staff that will be getting underway. In fact, we got underway today with a brand new staff. We hope that within the next couple of days, you'll be getting a lot more news.
We can get that squared away.
You with us, Michael?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello. You're on the air. Okay. Let's try 5-7. Yeah, that's the connection.
Hi, Mike.
Hello. You're on the air.
Bobby O.J., please.
Oh, okay. Bobby O.J. isn't here. Just Ken Brantley instead. Okay? Maybe we'll get straightened out here. This is the first time for all of us. And, we're trying to get things coordinated here this evening, but our numbers are 526-1356, 526-1357, and, of course, 526-1358. Tom, how long have you been in Houston? Is this your home?
No, I've been there about over 4 years now.
Well, you're a veteran.
Yeah, you can say that. You can say that now.
Houston's quite a city. I have certainly been impressed. We've only been here about a week, but we have, except for the rather humid and dry, well, unusually hot weather that you have here, we certainly enjoyed the reception that has been given by the staff of KYOK and, of course, by so many very fine citizens. This is a special program that we're presenting this evening, and we will have guests very shortly who will be presenting a rather provocative and interesting topic, one that I dare not get into prematurely, but we'd like to invite you, our listeners, to be a part of our program. Give us a call. We'd like to chat with you for a few minutes, and we'll try to respond to whatever is on your mind. One of the things that so many people were talking about a little while ago, and we don't seem to have too much conversation about it, and that is the Watergate situation. I guess it's gotten to the point that people are tired of talking about Watergate. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I think so. I think the thing that people are mostly interested in today is the prices on food and the meat prices. There's a shortage in meat. And different things like that.
There's a shortage on food from the indications that I've seen on the price tags. I don't know if we'll be becoming vegetarian shortly or if we'll just start getting slimmer. But there's been an inflationary spiral, the likes of which I've never seen before. Food, have you been out shopping lately, or do you
buy
groceries?
Right. Every now and then, you know. But actually, as a matter of fact, I saw today a news saying this lady, she was shopping for meat in the supermarket, and actually, she said something about even if she could afford to buy the meat, it wasn't available. And there are a lot of meat markets closing down. I also read a story about there are people calling in different meat processing companies trying to find out where there is meat to be bought on the black market.
You know, we never thought I suppose a year or so ago that we'd be faced with some of the things that we have been faced with recently. Heretofore, our president was looked upon as being a very competent man, even though he may not have been the opinion of many. In fact, I suppose that most black folk have been attuned to the plight of blacks. There were many who felt that, well, as a businessman, as a negotiator, he had a pretty strong program and knew what he was doing. But now we see that, aside from some of the things that affect blacks, we seem to have a situation that is affecting people on all levels, poor whites as well as the affluent and many of the corporation owners, the executives. We've noticed right here in Texas that in the last week or so we've had announcements that two or three meat packing companies have either had to curtail their operations or close down completely. We've got a note here that I believe has been received from one of our listeners. They feel that the news department should become a lot more community-oriented, and they'd like to know perhaps more about the individuals that we have on our news team. Well, I don't know where to start, because we have such a very efficient and capable team, but we feel that we have perhaps the most comprehensive and one of the most efficient news operations of any black-oriented facility. We'll comment more on that after we receive this call from our next listener. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Yeah, the comment I have to make is about the drought in Africa.
Yes.
And one of the things that was really bothering me about it was that it seems to be followed by the Peace Corps in the United States. This is just like one part of it. But I guess, as you know, this drought has been forming over about a period of 5 years.
Yes.
And in that length of time, the Peace Corps has been over in Africa inoculating the cattle and different, you know, all the different cattle and different things over there in Africa to keep them from causing all kinds of diseases and keep them from dying off. Well, a lot of that was sort of like a passive type thing to keep all of the leaders of the African countries satisfied so that they could come in and drill for the oil. Now, the United States has been drilling for oil in most of these West African countries that are starving right now, but they will not drill water wells. And see, they don't know any better. So you have all these cattle that used to die off from diseases and different things. They're now overgrazing the land, which causes actually less rain to fall on the land, and eventually it did cause a drought, so it's to like starving the people of the rain that they need, and at the same time it's driving all of the poor people who live out in the bush country, that it's driving them into the cities, you know.
Your assessment of...
So it seems like to me that, you know, ever since Nixon has also cut out the Peace Corps too, he's just about brought everybody back home from these West African countries. It seems like they left the people over there stranded in this part of the situation that was caused by the United States itself.
I think your assessment of that situation, from indications that, at least from reports that I've received from some individuals...
There was another particular comment I had, too, about KYLK.
Yes, hold on, can you hear me?
I was wondering, when is KYLK going to start playing a little more progressive soul music than what they do now? Most of the time, it's a lot of rhythm and blues. And I don't know, it seems like to me a lot of people are turning away from that type of thing, and more or less toward the more popular thing, which now is progressive music, which is so like what War plays and Mandrill. I think they had a pretty good showing at the Black Musical Expo that was held Saturday.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Let me take the first part of your response. Actually, it wasn't a question. The first part, I think, related to the efforts of certain, the Peace Corps in particular, I think you mentioned, and the overgrazing of the land in Africa. Your remarks were consistent with some reports that I've had from individuals who visited there firsthand. One person who comes to mind, I believe, is Tom Johnson, a reporter for the New York Times, who has spent some time and done some fact-finding in West Africa. And apparently there appears to be a lot more concern as far as the United States government and other governments are concerned about tapping the resources of these nations than about the lives involved. One of the questions that continually has cropped up by individuals who have wanted to know more about the lack of action on the part of the government with regard to the starving brothers and sisters in Africa is the fact that America has shown so much concern for many other individuals of countries whose skins were lighter and whose hair was straighter than the Africans, and we were not hesitant about allocating emergency funds and millions of dollars to assist them, but there hasn't been this kind of concern. I remember one reporter stating that the United States is renting some planes at the rate of $1,000 an hour to private organizations to provide support in this instance, whereas in fact in other instances we've been not only donating planes but food and medicine and other kinds of relief items to assist them in their plight. So there are those who feel as if the color of the skin might be a factor with regard to our lack of concern for Africa, but there appears to be a lot more concern developing for them. Okay, now let's see. Yes, would you restate your question so we can put you on the air? Okay. Hello?
Well, you want me to restate the entire question that I already asked?
Yes.
Okay, well, what I felt about the drought in Africa was just that the drilling of the oil that the United States has done in those particular countries has caused more damage toward the drought. I think what has happened is that the United States has forced the Peace Corps over there, sort of like as an agency, to satisfy the different leaders of these countries. So the Peace Corps comes in and they inoculate all the cattle and different things to protect the country from diseases and different things. And instead of the cattle dying off as it naturally would, you know, it's just the natural environment and things, and the natural chain of the nature of that whole entire area was allowed to take place, then these cattle would eventually die off. But instead, you have all these thousands of cattle.
Yeah.
People, they raise the cattle,
right.
They keep them. They do not take them to the slaughterhouses or kill them. They keep them as sort of like a status symbol. So they overgraze all the land and eventually it breaks the natural chain. And instead of having any grazing land, it eventually turns into desert land. And from the desert land, the rains move away.
Of course, the big problem as I see it right now is where do we go from here? You know, we recognize that there have been mistakes on the part of some individuals or perhaps overt efforts to, as some have suggested, engage in the practice of genocide. But where do we go from here? How do we prevent unnecessary death? What can we as a people, what can we as a nation do to bring about the kind of relief? Yes. Let's see if we can get... Okay, now,
would you repeat your comment?
Yeah, I think Roberta Flack and Stevie Wonder have already started a massive drive to get more money for this particular thing. I think they're starting up a drive themselves, but it still seems to me that the whole thing was like caused by us, and then here we come with a little bitty minor effort to help save them, when all it really takes is just to drill for the oil, you know, drill for the water instead of drilling for the oil.
All right, well, I think that it has been suggested that if there is a mammoth effort on the part of not only black Americans, but humanitarians around the people who are concerned about the humaneness of this effort around the world to try to bring about some type of relief that maybe we can see some changes in that situation. Okay? All right. I think that our guests have arrived, and we're going to ask them to come in and again remind you that you're with KYOK Radio in Houston, Texas. Your host this evening is Ken Brantley, and our co-host is Tom Overton. Tom, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
And, of course, Michael Harris is our producer. We're going to leave you for a minute or so, give you a special word. We'll return in just 1 minute with more to say.
There are people born every day who could accomplish incredible things. They could cure disease, make peace, create art. They could abolish injustice or end hunger. They could do a lot to make this world a better place in which to live. But if they don't get an education, they may never get the chance. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. send a check, whatever you can afford, to the United Negro College Fund, 2002 Calumet, Houston, Texas, 77004. That's the United Negro College Fund, 2002 Calumet, Houston, Texas, 77004. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
There's an old expression in business that goes, we must be doing something right. That's the way we feel like McMahon Chevrolet Truck Department. Otherwise, how could we lay claims to being the largest truck dealers in these parts? Our formula and Chevy Truck Sale. Service, any truck requirement. McMahon delivers what you expect and more with on-the-spot financing. Talk to our people at 9111 North Freeway. McMahon Chevrolet, an organization dedicated to selling excellency. 9111 North Freeway.
Okay, our guests have arrived, and we're going to be chatting with them about a couple of items that I think might be of interest. We have, first of all, Mr. Mike Pope. Are you an evangelist, or what is your exact title? How should you be introduced?
Well, I suppose I should be introduced as a CBS News Bureau chief who came to do a feature story on Pastor Jim Jones, who is the Reverend of People's Temple Christian Church. And I was so impressed with what he was doing that I gave up my position and joined him.
You worked for CBS?
That's correct.
How long ago was this?
This was last November. I'd been working with them for 3 years approximately.
All right, now we're going to have to get a little information on who this Pastor Jim Jones is and how you happen to have been on I guess a fact-finding assignment, or at least on assignment for CBS. We have a little hum in our line. We're going to get that straightened out, but we'll be on the way very shortly. With you are two other individuals. Would you care to introduce them?
Yes, Terry Buford is with me, and one of our attorneys, Gene Chapin.
All right, now, how is it that your attorney happened to have come along with you this evening?
Well, perhaps I can best answer that. I came along not so much in a capacity as an attorney, but simply a member of a group who have come as an advanced party to make the arrangements necessary for the meetings that People's Temple Church is going to hold this Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday night.
All right, now let me give our listeners a little background into what this is all about. A few days ago, George Nelson, who's our public affairs director for the station, and I had occasion to visit the home of Reverend N.C. King and Crane. And we heard a most unusual story about a man from Los Angeles, California, who had some rather unusual powers. I had never heard of him before. And I felt that because of what I had heard, that perhaps much of this information should be shared with some of our listeners, especially in view of the fact that he's coming to Houston. And I know that there are many who have reservations about the supernatural, and there are probably a number who will question whether or not what you're saying is true. But in the interest of justice and fairness when it comes to the programming practices of the station, we felt that it would only be right that we take this opportunity to discuss this thing in its entirety, if it's at all possible, during the next 28 minutes or so, and get some insight as to what this man, Jim Jones, is that the name, is all about. You probably are in the best position, Mike, to put the whole situation into proper perspective, because I think as a journalist, as a man of the media, you can kind of think about this approach introspectively. What happened? How were you introduced, or how did this gentleman and his work come to your attention?
Well, I had heard about Jim Jones through many persons, and the things I heard made me think that his ministry would be a dramatic news story. And so I went to one of his services, and I walked in, and I was literally astounded by seeing so many people from different backgrounds, as I found out, from all different backgrounds, from people who could barely read or write to those who had college doctorate degrees, from the very rich to the very poor, from virtually all religious backgrounds, Protestants, Catholics.
Were you a religious man yourself?
Yes, you come from a Christian Science background.
Yes.
So, and I was struck by the fact that he had brought all these people together, and they were working harmoniously.
Where did this take place, sir? Were you?
This was in the San Francisco extension of People's Temple. It is based in Redwood Valley, California, and it also has an extension in Los Angeles.
All right, so as a result of a personal visit and inspection, you were impressed.
I was very impressed.
To what extent?
To the extent that I gave up a very lucrative position with CBS, and one in which I had the freedom to choose my own stories. But I found something more meaningful and more fulfilling, a better way to meet the needs of humans, a better way to accomplish good.
In what specific area? What are you doing now?
I
use your journalistic background to assist you in any way in advancing the ministry of Jim Jones. Is he an evangelist, or how does he label himself? That's, you know, how does he refer to himself?
I don't think he would characterize himself as an evangelist. He is simply a pastor who is a reverend over a ministry of approximately 10,000 people, with is part of a larger denomination of nearly 2 million people across the nation.
Okay, look, our lines are jammed. I wanted to get into this a lot more deeply before we started to responding to phone calls, but we might as well not detain them any longer. So let's take call number one. If you put that earphone in your ear there, and we're ready to fire away, all right? You're on the air. Hello? Sounds like one of our listeners is in a helicopter.
Hello?
Hello, yes, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, are you with us?
Yes, I'm wondering, with all these programs that you have and you got going, it must take a lot of money to keep going. I was wondering, how do you support your church?
As I was saying, we have a very large denomination, and supported mainly by contributions from our members. And these contributions support a vast program of human services that reach across the state and across the land.
Thank you very kindly. Let's take another call. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to ask, what made you quit your job exactly at the CBS? What was the specific reason? And I have another question after you answer that, please, sir.
All right.
The specific reason was that I saw a man who lived the life of Christ more than any other. I feel that Jim Jones has become virtually the essence of love, in that he has gotten rid of ego. He's freed himself of ego. He is living his life totally for others. And in this way, he is reaching out to people who, through no fault of their own, are poor and suffer pain. And he's doing this in many ways. He's doing it through facilities which include senior citizens' homes that take in poor elderly people and give them the care that they otherwise could not afford. He's provided them with convalescent centers for the for those who need the care they need.
I have to admit, I'm a skeptic, you know. I'm from Missouri right now, so you have to show me. You know, there are many people who have heard ministers and so-called ambassadors for Christ indicate that they're concerned about the poor and this kind of thing. But from my experience as a reporter, I've had some strong reservations about the legitimacy of many of the so-called preachers. In fact, we have a situation in which I suppose that most people, young as well as the old, who are really discerning and who really have perhaps at one time had confidence and faith in some of these individuals, really questioned because of some things that they have seen, whether or not religion is valid in this day and age, whether or not there's any human who can really stand up to their expectations. I believe that one of your colleagues has a response.
Yes, I'm sure that anyone who went to Redwood Valley and physically saw the convalescent hospitals, the senior citizens' homes, the children's homes and the special schools there couldn't help but be persuaded what they saw with their eyes. And if you were to look at the
Well, most people can't go to Redwood Valley. Now, what is it about this man? What does he get out of this whole situation anyway? In other words, he's doing things for the people, but what about Jim Jones? What's he doing for Jim Jones?
Jim Jones lives a life that is incredibly modest. He owns no suit. He's never bought a new pair of shoes in his life. He owns no car. He won't take anything for himself that those in his congregation, the poorest in his congregation, can't have.
Let me interrupt just for a minute to remind our listeners that this is KYOK Radio in Houston, Texas. I think that's a legal station break, okay? Okay, let's go to our phone again and respond to another question. Hello? You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I would like to know where is the meeting going to be held here in Houston? I'd like to know the address. When?
It will be held at the Baptist Church at 5878 Belford Street, and that the publicity showed it at Belfort, I believe. It's Belford Street. And it'll be Sunday, August 5th at 7:30, Monday the 6th, and Tuesday the 7th, also at 7:30 p.m. each evening.
Now, what goes on in these meetings? What could a person expect to see or hear if he went to one of Jim Jones' crusades?
You see a lot of singing and praising, a lot of joyous fellowship. We have soloists, we have a 200 voice choir.
What's his objective? What is his plan to accomplish through all of this?
He's trying to fulfill the scripture, Matthew 25, where Jesus admonished us to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, and minister to the widows and orphans in their affliction. He's trying to carry this out because there are so many today who to no fault of their own, as I said before, are in destitute situations. And if you live the Christ life, you'll feel a love, you'll feel a sensitivity, you'll feel a compassion for these people that will compel you to want to reach out with them with whatever it takes to meet their needs.
Now, I talked with a gentleman, Reverend Frame, and his wife, who are in fairly comfortable circumstances by anybody's standards. And I was informed that they plan to do away with what wealth they have and live a life of, I suppose, that would be comparable to that of Jesus, a person that didn't have a place to lay his head.
I suppose I could understand very well, because I had a very successful law practice in California. I left my law practice and the income that accompanied it to work with Pastor Jones, because I get more satisfaction out of attempting to fulfill the scripture and attempting to make some comfort in the lives of persons who are miserable than I ever did running a successful law practice, earning money and buying things that money could buy.
So as you say, success is perhaps relative. It's not necessarily based on one's income as much as it is based on contentment and satisfaction that it exists within his heart or within his mind.
I'm a happy man today.
Are you a rich man?
No.
Do you intend to become a rich man, or
no?
Are riches of consequence to you?
No, they're not. I've been there and left it.
Is it the philosophy of Jim Jones to encourage his followers to share what wealth or what money they have with the less fortunate, or are there any kind of restrictions placed on an individual's income? Or, you know, are all required to give up their jobs and professions and that kind of thing? Or to what extent does the person have to sacrifice in order to be one of the followers?
I think this has occurred naturally as a result of seeing what Jim is doing. I think, using Gene as an example, and McCrane's perhaps, Jim reached them to the extent that they could no longer feel comfortable living lavishly and knowing that there were others who could not.
Well, then I'm going to have to do without that raise we had planned for our producer. Let's go to the next line, okay? Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to ask something. I don't really know too much about the supernatural.
Neither do I.
And I'm not terribly interested in it. I mean, I've read various things.
Right.
About it. And I don't feel that it's going to be the salvation of the world in any way. I think what the world needs is a lot more than this. Somebody who can work the true miracle. I'll say what President Nixon referred to in his 1968 campaign as bringing people together. And I want to know, you know, I've heard a few things. I've heard that people from many different backgrounds, I think as the attorney explained about his own situation, and others probably could, many different backgrounds, into the ministry of
man. Anyone being an intelligent man looking at the world situation today must understand it's difficult, but he doesn't feel it's hopeless.
Wait, Jim Jones black or white?
Jim Jones is part white and he's part Indian, American Indian.
Well, the masses of his followers are of what color? Is there any kind of definition in terms of the kinds of individuals that would be inclined to meet his respond, let's say, to his ministry?
The congregation is perhaps taken all in all 50% black, the balance being primarily Caucasian with some Oriental and some American Indian.
Now, what's the relationship? What kind of rapport do those who are regular followers of Jim Jones have? Do they enjoy the kind of association that is not common to most cities in the world?
We feel that we do.
I mean, in a practical, not a theoretical sense, but in a very practical sense. You know, are people worshiping together? Are they living together as brothers and sisters? Do they share what meager possessions they might have with each other? Or what kind of unusual relationships do they have that might suggest that there has been a change of heart?
When you deal with a congregation of 10,000 members, you deal with a variety of situations. We do have some people who share a great deal, others who are disinclined to do so. It depends, it's such a voluntary thing. It depends on, well, to use the slang of the day, how far one might get into it.
Right. There are degrees, in other words, to which an individual might be inclined to want to go into this experience.
It's a self-selecting process.
All right, our lines are still jammed. Let's take another one. Hello, you're on the air.
Can you give me any more specific examples of what Pastor Jones is doing to help others?
That's a good question. What specifically has he done to indicate his concern?
Recently, the People's Temple Ministry was written up in the Congressional Record. One of the few churches, perhaps the only church, to be praised in the halls of Congress in this manner for its support of freedom of the press. And this is something that we're very proud of.
Is this a denomination? His church, what is it called?
People's Temple Christian Church.
Now, is this a composition of a variety of religions, or is this any kind of particular denomination in itself?
It belongs to the Disciples of Christ denomination, which is a nationwide denomination. And incidentally, after this overall denomination heard of our work and saw it's written up in the Congressional Record, it went ahead and passed a resolution after our model.
Very good. Let's take another call. Hello, you're on the air.
What brought Pastor Jones to Houston?
Why Houston, of all places?
We were invited here by the Cranes, and I'd like to say we love Houston. We've found it a beautiful city. It has given us a chance to take our hundreds of children on vacation, and from here we'll be going on to Washington, D.C., and some eastern cities.
You said hundreds of children. How many persons are involved in this entourage?
We have a fleet of 11 Greyhound-type diesel buses, and when we travel, many of what we call our church family travels together. In this instance, about 550 are coming.
Very good. It's such a comfort to take the bus and leave all the driving to us. Hello, you're on the air.
Has Pastor Jones been here before?
It's his first visit. That's correct.
All right, that was short and to the point. Whom have we next, Mr. Producer? Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. Just lately, I've been really discouraged. You know, I look around and I see people who are using drugs all over me and people who are getting away from church.
Yeah.
And it seems like generally all across the country, there's just people who don't care anymore at all about other people. And I just wondered, what practical thing are they doing about that? I've heard a lot of good things so far tonight. I just wanted to know, what are the practical problems you haven't mentioned that might give us hope for a better world?
Doesn't one of you indicate that he had some kind of a program?
He does have a drug rehabilitation program, and so far it's taken nearly 200 young people off hardline drugs and given them the chance for a college education, incidentally, which they would not have had. One of the, to give an example, one of our brothers that was taking out drugs was a pusher. In fact, I think he was the number one pusher in Northern California, and he had a $250 a day habit, and he was taken off this habit, and he hasn't used drugs for 4 years, and in fact is heading an urban redevelopment agency. I think as the chief of police has stated, when he left the drug scene, the crime rate went down 25%.
That's fantastic. Got a couple of referrals. Hello? You're on the air.
Yes. I was wondering, if he's not an evangelist, does he propose to, heal people like these other folks are doing?
I have seen him do some incredible healings.
I guess that's the main reason you're here, because I heard of a rather incredible healing. I started to say feet, but I'll use the healing for a better choice of words. Yes, continue.
I think the healing that impressed me most involved hundreds of people. It was when Jim got a revelation and asked that all those with arthritis stand. And several hundred people got up and formed a line. Many of these were very old people who were bent over and so stiff they could hardly move. They had to be held to their feet. And Jim spent hours going one by one through that line until everybody was healed. And it was the most beautiful, moving, and touching thing I'd ever seen, to see some of these elderly people who had suffered for so long able to dance
dance about like young children.
Well, why do you think a person like Jim Jones would be given this special power, this special gift?
Because Jim Jones, as I stated before, has gotten rid of ego. He has become, he just lives his life totally for others. He's become a channel for the energy, the energy of the universe that works through him.
Do you think there's any possibility in other individuals, other humans, experiencing this kind of dramatic change if maybe they lost sight of themselves and became a lot more concerned about the plight of their brothers?
I think
it's a restrictive kind of a gift.
I don't think it's restrictive at all. I think anyone who wants to claim their inheritance as a son of God and is willing to live for others rather than themselves is able to become this clear channel that the Christ force operates through.
Let's take a few more calls, okay? Hello, you're on the air.
I was wondering, I believe in God and everything, but I just don't believe that one man, can go around saying that, I touch and you heal, I just don't believe it.
And what's the basis of one being a recipient, let's say, of the gift of healing? They say seeing is believing, but a lot of us question whether or not what we see is actually what we saw, what we thought we saw. How do you respond to a remark such as that was obviously made by a youngster who indicated that she really didn't believe that all this could happen?
I would say that...
Do you run into a lot of skeptics?
Yes, we do run into many who came to us were very intellectual.
Were you a skeptic?
Cynical and very skeptical about healing until they saw people get up out of wheelchairs, until they saw broken bones mended, literally. This happened just a few services ago when a woman whose arm had been broken the night before when she was attacked, Jim got a revelation about her and she was healed, and the x-rays showed the bone that was broken the night before. And she got the x-ray after she was healed, and you can't see any trace of a fracture. And I would say the thing that brought her into this healing is that she'd been coming to services and trying to live Jim's teachings, which are essentially the teachings of Jesus, living for others and giving to those, reaching out to those who have need.
I'd like to advise those of you who are part of this experience this evening that if you are with KYOK Radio, 1590 in Houston, Texas.